And as we leave the jungle, the time is 6 a.m.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4, CM11, at 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B, 2E9. You can also call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Seamus Hamilton Pattison speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We're back. We had a phone call from Al Simmons the other day.
Yes.
He said, are you back? Is the show on? Al, it's your radio. Good morning, Al. Good morning, everybody else. This half hour, Carol on the roof, looking for ancient radio waves that go on forever and ever and ever. Whether or not, well, we'll get the weather from Carol in just a minute. Take a quick look at the sports. How about those Montreal Canadiens?
Absolutely.
And your easy listening hit parade. And the book sale, the Children's Hospital book sale, continues today. Well, I'm guessing that it's too early for the weather, but I'll
no,
say.
It's not.
Oh, all right.
It's not too early for the weather.
Hold the front page, Carol McKibben.
That's right.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. But before I got this weather, I still had last week's weather loaded, and it was -8.
Ookie pookie.
And in between,
yes,
we've been up to 20, haven't we?
We were all wearing shorts the other day. And that, well, at the annual general meeting,
couple of days.
We stepped outside to go home.
It was really cold and windy, blowing something nasty. And what it blew in was it's only 2 degrees today,
yes,
with a promise of maybe we'll make it to 10. So the barometric pressure is 101.4 and falling. And maybe that's why my back doesn't feel so good today.
Well, in the future, I think you should say we'll have a back report.
Oh, well, that's an idea.
In case we can't get the weather.
Okay. Humidity, 67%. Wind coming from the south at 17. You'd think if it was coming from the south, it could do better.
Well, you'd like to think that, wouldn't you? But there's a lot of wind coming from the south.
Well, that's true. Mix of sun and cloud today, and the wind coming from the southwest at 20, gusting to 40 this morning. And as I said, they're promising a high of 10.
Now, not to show too much lack of concern for the entire province, but
yes,
you used the word blizzard earlier this morning at home.
Oh, yes. Well, way up in the north. So they can listen to us online up north, but they can't listen to us like just on their radio. So if somebody's tuned in from up north, look out. There's a blizzard warning.
Look out,
and
blizzard coming.
I think the picture was orange on the screen, which means warning.
Right.
And don't get caught out like the people around Fort McMurray that were driving along the highway and two feet of snow got dumped on them, and they went, what?
Well, I did see the CBC news, and there were people that had been in their cars for 12 or 13 hours. Yeah. Just don't be caught by surprise.
Well, I think even snow plows were tied up in the snow.
Hockey, the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay.
Montreal Canadiens and Tampa Bay Lightning. So about time, I thought. In fact, they left it late. Montreal won 3-2 in overtime. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. The Edmonton Oilers, the Anaheim Ducks. No, it doesn't look good. Last night, Ducks won, 7-4. In the AHL, the Manitoba Moose played the Milwaukee Admirals last night. Moose left it again to about a minute or two before the end of the game. Moose won 2-1. So the Sunday is the deciding game in that series. Sunday at 2. Professional Women's Hockey League, Toronto and Ottawa, 1 o'clock today. New York and Boston, 11. That's AM, of course. Basketball, Toronto Raptors play the Cleveland Cavaliers Sunday at noon. Baseball, that was then, this is now. Toronto Blue Jays played the Cleveland Guardians last night. Jays lost 8-6. Same again today at 2, Sunday at 12:30.
Are we keeping you awake, yawning in the middle?
I was funny. I had a twinge. I had a twinge there. I didn't mean to sound as if I didn't care. If I didn't care. No, because as we turn to your easy listening hit parade, the 40s and 50s, it's the big voice. Yes. Before Vietnam, there was Korea. Back in 1952, which was, what, only 7 years after World War II ended, the United States was once again at war. Well, so was everybody else, never mind. Canada was there. A war, they called it a military action. A war whose purpose many people did not understand, fought in a faraway land. Singer and actress Jane Froman, starring at the time in a TV series called USA Canteen. And to lift people's spirits, the team of writers and composers working on the show wrote a song of hope for Froman to perform. One of the writers of I Believe said they were seeking a way to put basic honest faith into words.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky,
from your easing listening hit parade of the 40s and 50s. So as I said, Britain during the Korean War. 1953, Frankie Lane recorded stirring, throbbing, indeed, rendition, one of the year's million sellers, and I believe rose to number one spot on your hit parade, won a Christopher Award as the finest inspirational tune of the year. At 6:09, Children's Hospital Book Market.
Pardon me?
Children's Hospital Book Market.
Yes.
Children's
we
Hospital
went yesterday.
Because it continues. It's at St. Vital. Now, I have, fortunately, the Free Press, the News and Brief, gives me the accurate hours for today, Saturday, from 10 to 6.
Okay.
Which is the St. Vitale Mall.
Right, okay.
And Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 5.
Right.
It doesn't always appear in the ads. I'm not quite sure why. So you can still find the odd book for a dollar.
Oh,
I
okay.
did.
You
I am holding in my one? Hand.
Yes.
84 Charing Cross Road.
Oh.
Helene Hanf.
Yes.
Beloved classic, indeed.
Talking about post-war.
Yeah, 1949 is the first letter. Classic 20-year correspondence between an American writer and a British bookseller. And just, what, only a week or two back, we were standing in front of 84 Charing Cross Road.
Yes, we were.
We were the only ones who knew. Number 82 is on the wall, but the number 84 and the store is long gone. Even the doorway is gone. So I'm reading here from the opening of the book. It's from 14th East, 95th Street, New York City, October 5th, 1949, to Marks & Co., 84 Charing Cross Road, London, WC2, England. Gentlemen, your ad in the Saturday Review of Literature says that you specialize in out-of-print books. The phrase antiquarian bookseller scares me somewhat, as I equate antique with expensive. I am a poor writer with an antiquarian taste in books, and all the things I want are impossible to get over here, except in very expensive, rare editions or in Barnes & Noble's grimy, marked-up schoolboy copies.
Oh, dear.
I enclose a list of my most pressing problems. If you have clean, second-hand copies of any of the books on the list for no more than $5 each, will you consider this a purchase order and send them to me? Yours very truly, Helene Hanf, brackets, Miss Helene Hanf. Letter came back, 25th of October, 1949, to Miss Helene Hanf. Dear Madam, in reply to your letter of October 5th, we have managed to clear up two-thirds of your problem. The three Hazlitt's essays you want are contained in the non-such press edition of his Selected Essays, and the Stevenson is found in Virginibus Perisc. We are sending nice copies of both these by book post. We trust they will arrive safely in due course and that you will be pleased with them. Our invoice is enclosed with the books. The Leigh Hunt essays are not going to be so easy, but we will see if we can find an attractive volume with them all in. We haven't the Latin Bible you describe, but we have a Latin New Testament and a Greek New Testament. Ordinary and modern editions in cloth binding. Would you like these? Yours faithfully, F.P.D. for Marks and Co.
Hmm.
That's how it starts.
Okay.
20-year correspondence.
Wow.
Well, as I say, we went, and I always head for the biography table.
Yes.
I did find things there at $2.
Right.
Like
excellent.
The Edwardian Lady.
Oh, right.
Now, that's the story of Edith Holden, author of The Country Diary of an Edwardian Lady.
Yes.
We must have sold a gazillion of
those.
Oh,
I know.
The illustrations are quite eye-catching. So this
little
has
watercolors. Yeah.
Some illustrations, but it's not the original. Don't
no,
think that you're getting
the diary.
Country Diary, very nice. And glad that I remember I interviewed Richard Gwynne for this. John A., The Man Who Made Us. This is volume one. 1815 to 1867. Since John A. has taken such a pummeling and pounding and had his statue pulled down here and there, if you want to take a deeper look at John A. and the good with the bad, I recommend Richard Gwynne to you then. This was the paperback edition, the oversized, trade size, $2.
Oh.
That's value,
what
I think.
What a deal.
Still
yeah.
a value, yes. Continues today then. At
okay.
St. Vitale. We will be there. They whip the cloths off at 10 a.m.
Right.
6:13.
Okay.
Time for a road trip then.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. I get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo,
Gallup, New Mexico. Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Winona. Kingman, Barstow. San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Nat King Cole. It's a 2-CD set that I picked up at, I think this was Red River Books, actually. 2-CD set. Titled Route 66, 40 original artist recordings, and some nice things through the 60s, and some things are a little harder to come by there.
That's just a little reminder, they also have CDs and comics.
Yes, as yes.
Red River Books.
Big spread of comics, and more upstairs as well. Mm-hmm. But as well, the BBC sent me a story on Route 66 at 100, the Native American story behind the U.S. most famous highway, stretching from Chicago to Santa Monica. Road passes through native lands for much of its length, yet indigenous voices have long been overlooked. So now First Nations communities are reclaiming their place along the Mother Road, reshaping how travelers understand and experience the legendary highway. I think there are something like 25 different passes through, runs alongside self-governed Native American lands. And so some of this refers to the variety of food you can find along the way, Route 66, BBC article, as I say, Route 66.
Okay.
And as well in today's Free Press, the section marked passages, which covers the obits. The big spread, the big front page, is for the famous Rhodian curry owner, Famina Ali, seen here with her husband, Mohammed Ali. She died in February at the age of 66. Came from Guyana, from a family of 11 siblings.
Wow.
You may remember, well, she was in the Garrick Hotel there. Now they did pizzas and the like, but they did rotis on the side. And when the Garrick was sold, she moved, remember, under the parkade.
Oh, right.
Just up the street from there, which I swear used to be a Sal's.
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah, I ate there several times, so very
nice. It wasn't a very big place.
No.
Boy, she made good roti.
Good food, and a curved little counter you could sit at.
Yeah.
So the rotis, popular, of course. And a blink and you'll miss it, storefront. So some conversation with her husband as well in today's Free Press.
Oh.
That's the lead story by Eve Wozni of Passages for Famina Ali. Pictures of her serving food, of course, to a customer at 618.
Good.
618, Carol McKibben, if you'll stand on your chair.
Okay.
We'll have you go looking.
I just put my jacket on. Wait a second.
Well, all right. It's 2 degrees, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better, of course, I guess. And I'll hand you. Okay. See what you can find. That looks good.
You got something?
Morning, Ron.
I understand today it's then versus now. We talk about the music business. Of course, we're going to look back. I've always believed that every link in the chain has to be solid if you're going to succeed, you know, from the musician right through the production, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there certainly is. You have to have all the ducks in line and everything working for you. You know, but in the 1960s, before the magic of Canadian content in the CRTC and, you know, Canadian content regulations that forced radio stations to play Canadian music, launching or creating a national recording career as a national artist was very, very difficult because the music scene in Canada was so fragmented. It was so regional. Mm-hmm. The necessities of geography just dictated that. There wasn't a national playlist. There wasn't a national star, system like we have today. And so you had artists who recorded and might have had hit records in Toronto and you never heard them anywhere else, or in Vancouver and you never heard them anywhere else. I mean, I remember learning about, bands like the Big Town Boys and Jack London and the Sparrows, who had number one records in Toronto that were never, or if ever, very rarely played in Winnipeg. And similarly, you had bands from Winnipeg, the Devrons and the Shondells and the Gaithersburg Address, who all enjoyed big hit singles here in Winnipeg that never got any airplay anywhere else. So if you wanted to really launch a career in Canada back in the 60s, you really had to get out and crack each of those individual regional markets and live out in the road.
Well, CBC helped a little bit, but that might have been a little bit later, I guess, with some TV coverage.
Well, yeah. Well, even though in the mid-60s, with Music Hop, which was from, five different cities across Canada, that gave some exposure to some of the bands, from the local scenes to get known outside of there. But, that recent CBC TV special called Shaken All Over really revealed the regional nature of the music scene in the 60s, because I talked to people afterwards who said, wow, I didn't know about such and such a band. They were really big in Vancouver, that sort of thing. Because we just didn't know about them.
So for recording too, I guess Toronto was Mecca.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And the artists that we're going to talk about today, the band, this band came from Saskatoon, but recognized early on that if you wanted to make a mark and you wanted to have a career, you had to go to Toronto. So they moved to Toronto.
Running out of Saskatoon,
yes.
I'd say, to Toronto. Okay. So who are we talking about?
We're talking about Witness Incorporated.
Well, I actually know the name, but that's about it, I suppose. So.
Well, they were really a popular band in the mid to later 60s, especially in Western Canada. They played everywhere, every high school and church basement and sock hop, wherever. Very professional outfit. Recognized, as I say, early on, you've got to get out on the road, you've got to get your name known, and you've got to be recording. They formed in 65 in Saskatoon, but by 67 they had then moved to Toronto. Now, the band consisted of Les Bateman on organ, guitarist Ed Clinton, Alan Ayers on bass, drummer Craig Khalil, and the singer was from Nokomis, Saskatchewan, and his name was Kenny Shields.
Now, that name I know, yes. And we could certainly trace his career separate, but let's stick. We've got the band. They're in Toronto, and their first single?
Their first single was called I'll Forget Her Tomorrow. They signed with Apex Records, which was a Canadian label, and the song actually did fairly well across Canada. So they were getting that national exposure, but again, in order to do that, you had to be out on the road all the time, and Witness Incorporated became a road band, always out playing wherever and whenever they needed to do that. Their follow-up single was a cover of the Frankie Lane pop song from the 50s called Jezebel.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Big, we've got to have the big voice to
do
that.
Oh, yeah, well, Kenny Shields had a big voice,
yes,
for sure.
Yes, okay.
And that did very well for them as well. But it's the third single that they released in 1967 called Harlem Lady that kind of set their career, became kind of a national hit across Canada, if you could have such a thing by then, and is the song that Witness Incorporated is best remembered for.
All right, well, let's go back to 1967 then. This is Witness Incorporated and Harlem Lady.
A breath of spring. She has bells upon her shoes and she wears a diamond ring. Everybody passing by says, look, there goes our queen. Ain't she the prettiest thing that you have ever seen?
She is a Harlem lady. Money man can't buy her. Her life is all her own. She ain't got no time to find her, for she ain't got no home. If you pass her on the street, she'll smile and say hello. Don't you get too close now, just don't want to know.
She is a Harlem lady. She is a
fight for you. And man, she gives her love to nobody but me. She is a Harlem lady. She is a Harlem lady. She is a Harlem lady. And she's much too good for me.
It's 1967, and we're in Harlem via Saskatchewan. Witness Incorporated. I'm talking to John Anderson this morning on Made in Canada.
Ancient radio waves that go on forever. John describing how tough it was to get a hearing in the radio stations across the country back then, from CBC days there. 6:26. Carol McKibben, what about the jumble? Have you had a look at the jumble?
Oh, yes, I've got a jumble. How much press? Coffee have you had?
Insufficient. Insufficient.
Well, we'll
I-N-S-U-F-F-I-C. Insufficient. Tent. E-N-T.
Okay. Here
ready
we go.
When you are.
All right. H-T-F-C-E. Yeah, see.
Effect. Fetch.
Fetch.
I heard too many E's, but...
Yes.
Can anybody else hear them?
H-T-F-C.
No, it's a bad sign. There we are, fetch.
Yes.
Today's jumble. It's all part of the service. Anybody having trouble with the jumble,
because,
we can always help you.
Sometimes I accuse you of looking at the things when you tear them out of the newspaper, but obviously you didn't.
See?
Today...
I turn to one side, I put it on the counter for you to take away.
Yes.
Accused of
it. Anyway, you still got it.
On this day,
yes,
in 2023, Harry Belafonte died.
Oh.
Jamaican American, died at the age of 96.
Good grief.
Activist, singer. We had this at our home.
Yes.
It's a 2 LP set. It's noisy. Harry Belafonte, yes, live at Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
Wake up, wake up, darling Cora. I want to see you one more time. The sheriff and his hound dogs are coming. I got to move on down the line. I don't know why, darling Cora. Don't know what the reason can be, but I never yet found a single town where me and the boss man agree. I ain't a man to be played with. I ain't nobody's toy. Been working for my pay for a long, long time.
How come he still calls me boy? Well, I'd rather drink muddy water and sleep in a hollowed-out log than to hang around in this old town and be treated like a dirty dog. Well, I whopped that man, darling Cora, and he fell down where he stood. Don't know if I was wrong, darling Cora, but Lord, it sure felt good. If it wasn't so dark, darling Cora, you'd see tears trickling down my face. It breaks my heart, darling Cora. But I got to leave this place. Wake up, darling Cora.
Now, if anybody listening to us named Cora, it's 6:32. Wake up, darling Cora.
I see.
Time to get up. 6:32. Okay. Harry Belafonte, say, died in this day at the age of 96 back in 2023. Singer, actor, civil rights activist, popularized calypso music. International audiences, 1950s, 60s. Big breakthrough, the album Calypso, 56. First million-selling LP by a single artist. And of course he's known for, well, he still uses it in the baseball game, Dale.
Yeah.
Banana Boat Song, Jump in the Line, Shake Sonora, Jamaica Farewell, Mary's Boy Child. Yes.
Yep. Almost as old.
6:32.
As Johnny Gilbert.
Who is what, 97?
He's 97. He's still
doing
working
Jeopardy
for a living.
I'm sorry, I was about to say here's Johnny.
No. Well, it's no longer Alex Trebek.
Well, I know. Whenever I hear you, I start to say Alex Trebek.
Yeah, me too. I still do. No. After how many years? Yep.
All right, the time?
Yeah, Jeopardy.
6:33.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Linda Holman, author of The Devil on Her Tongue, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM.
Right you are, Linda. Thank you. Here we are in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We did the jumble.
Yes.
And I think we better take a look at the Turner Classic Movie Channel.
Okay.
11 a.m. this morning.
Yes.
It happened in Brooklyn.
Uh-oh.
Well, you can tell, yes. 1947, yeah. Frank Sinatra, Peter Lawford, and Jimmy Durante.
Once upon a time they sang the Bo-de-yo-do, but that was long ago. Then everybody started in to boop-boop-a-doo. They got tired of that, you know. How do you like those guys? Everybody puts in extra notes. I'll overlook it. But the tune for you and me
is that swingy symphony.
Dink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkity.
Oh, what a tune for crooning.
Dink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkity.
It's got the whole world spooning.
Eskimo bells up in Iceland
are ringing.
They've made their own paradise land.
Singing.
Ink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkadee.
Simply means ink, a dinkadee, a dinkadoo.
Ink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo. Let me hear that choir.
Oh, what a tune for crooning.
Colossia. Ink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo. Let me hear that band. Stupendous. Now let me hear the trumpets. That's not a trumpet. That's not a trumpet. That's a trumpet.
a dink a dee, a dink a doo, a dink a dee.
Tippity dink a dink a dee, a dink a doo.
Ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo, a dink a dee.
Oh, what a tune for crooning.
That's enough, fellas, I'll take it alone. A dink a dee, a dink a doo. You know, boys, last week I sang for the Sultan of Pasha. And the Sultan offered me his harem of 500 beautiful wives. But I turned them down. Because when I get up every morning, who wants to find 1,000 stockings hanging in the bathroom? Not Durrani. A dink a dee, a dink a dee. That note was given to me by Bing Crosby. And was he glad to get rid of it? Simply means a dink a dee, a dink a doo.
Jimmy Durante.
Yes.
Of course, from, as I say, It Happened in Brooklyn, 1947, with Peter Lovett, a returning GI and friends trying to make it the music business. 2:30 this afternoon on TCM. Looney Tunes. Ah, they're doing running continuing series of these.
Oh, are they?
Little Red Riding Rabbit from 1944. Oh. Great stuff. 7 p.m., some of it's very violent. 7 p.m., Romeo and Juliet from 1936. I don't know. It was directed by George Cukor, but
who's
Norma Shearer and Leslie Howard and Lionel Barrymore. Maybe they were a little too old, perhaps, to
maybe
our understanding of Romeo and Juliet. Yeah,
because they're playing teenagers. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the way we see the play now. Yes. Yeah. And it was probably written that way. Well, 9:45, Murder, he says, 1945, Fred McMurray. Fred can't have been bad. Helen Walker.
Yes, he could.
Marjorie Maine. Family of Small Town Killers. Okay. And then Sunday, 6:45 a.m. Thank you, Lucky Stars, with Eddie Cantor.
I have got a sweetie known as Susie. In the words of Shakespeare, she's a wow. Though all of you may know her too, I'd like to shout right now. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl. There's none so classy as this fair lassie. Oh, 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 my goodness, what a chassis. We went riding, she didn't balk. From the country, I'm the one that had to walk. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh, what a girl. Susie has a perfect reputation. No one ever saw her on a spree. Nobody knows where Susie goes. Nobody knows but me. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl. She wears long tresses and nice tight dresses. Oh, oh, what a future she possesses. Out in public, how she can yawn. In a parlor, you would think the war was on. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh, what a girl. She'll spend Sunday praising the Lord, but on Monday she's as busy as a Ford. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh, what a girl. I had a mustache and trained it like a pup. She's got such hot lips, she kissed me once and burned it up. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, whoa, 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 what a girl.
Eddie Cantor with B. big hit from the 1920s there. But Sunday on Turner Classic Movie Channel, 6:45 in the morning. Thank your lucky stars from 1943. Eddie Cantor, Humphrey Bogart, Ida Lupino, all-star show to help the war effort. By the way, Eddie Cantor, big fan of Jimmy Durante. He said his heart is big as the world.
No.
11:45 at night on Sunday nights when they show silent films from 1924. Girl Shy.
I don't know.
That pretty much run through all of his movies. Harold Lloyd.
Oh, right.
Small town boy, raises a ruckus, writes a book on how to handle women. Good luck, Harold. Good luck wherever you are. 6:41 now. And we must have something's happening here on this day. Born on this day in 1917. Ella Fitzgerald.
Ah. CD Essential Ella, 21 Ella Fitzgerald Classics. Born on this day, 1970, died in 1996. American jazz, she could sing it all. Swing, pop, blues,
If you'd like to hear some more Ella,
yeah,
tell you what I can do. I keep seeing this on Facebook, so I looked it up.
Right.
The Jazz Room, which is the Pyramid Cabaret here in Winnipeg.
Oh, right.
So there's going to be a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald, June the 12th.
Okay.
Looks to me like they have two shows, one at 6 and one at 8:30. So it's Friday, June the 12th. Tickets start around, I don't know, $34. Do I see 32? Yes, but then the booking fee. So have a look for the Jazz Room. It's a little twisty-turny to find everything what you want, but it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done. If I can do it, you can do it.
That's to celebrate her life as she died on June 15th,
right,
1996. She had diabetes, Ron, and both her legs were amputated below the knee.
Right.
And the diabetes also damaged her eyesight. But she died of a stroke, actually, and she was 79. Yeah.
Well, it is 6:46, so usually we play some comedy at this time. It turns out that might be a good idea then, as I think there's something new coming about Adrian Mole. Now, way back when, what? Sue Townsend wrote The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, age 13 and three quarters. So something new, but to remind you of what it was all about, read by Stephen Mangan.
Thursday, January the 8th. Now my mother has got the flu. This means I have to look after them both. Just my luck. I've been up and down the stairs all day. I cooked a big dinner for them. Two poached eggs with beans and tinned semolina pudding. It's a good job I wore the green Lurex apron because the poached eggs escaped out of the pan and got all over me. I nearly said something when I saw they hadn't eaten any of it. They can't be that ill. My grandmother is coming tomorrow morning, so I had to clean the burnt saucepans, then take the dog for a walk. It was 11:30 before I got to bed. No wonder I'm short for my age. I have decided against medicine for a career. Friday, January the 9th. My grandma came and was disgusted with the state of the house. I showed her my room, which is always neat and tidy, and she gave me 50 pence. I showed her all the empty drink bottles in the dustbin. She was disgusted. My grandma let the dog out of the coal shed. She said my mother was cruel to lock it up. The dog was sick on the kitchen floor. My grandma locked it up again. She squeezed the spot on my chin. It's made it worse. I told grandma about the green apron, and grandma said she bought my mother a 100% acrylic cardigan every Christmas, and my mother had never, ever worn one of them. Saturday, January the 10th, a.m. Now the dog is ill. It keeps being sick, so the vet has got to come. My father told me not to tell the vet that the dog had been locked in the coal shed for 2 days. I have put a plaster over the spot to stop germs getting in it from the dog. The vet has taken the dog away. He says he thinks it has an obstruction and will need an emergency operation. My grandma has had a row with my mother and gone home. My grandma found the Christmas cardigans all cut up in the duster bag. It's disgusting when people are starving. Mr. Lucas, from next door, has been in to see my mother and father, who are still in bed. He brought a get-well card and some flowers for my mother. My mother sat up in bed in a nightie that showed a lot of her chest. She talked to Mr. Lucas in a yucky voice. My father pretended to be asleep. Nigel brought his records round. He's into punk, but I don't see the point if you can't hear the words. Anyway, I think I'm turning into an intellectual. It must be all the worry. PM. The dog has had its operation. The vet showed me a plastic bag with lots of yucky things in it. There was a lump of coal, the fir tree from the Christmas cake, and some model pirates from my father's ship. The dog looks a lot better. It can come home in 2 days. Worse luck. My father was having a row with my grandma on the phone about the empty bottles in the dustbin when I got home. Mr. Lucas was upstairs talking to my mother. When Mr. Lucas went, my father went upstairs and had an argument with my mother and made her cry. My father is in a bad mood. This means he's feeling better. I made my mother a cup of tea without her asking. This made her cry as well. Can't please some people. The spot is still there. Sunday, January the 11th. Now I know I'm an intellectual. I saw Malcolm Muggeridge on the television last night and I understood nearly every word. It all adds up. A bad home, poor diet, not liking punk. I think I'll join the library and see what happens. It's a pity there aren't any more intellectuals living round here. Mr. Lucas wears corduroy trousers, but he's an insurance man. Just my luck. Monday, January the 12th. The dog is back. It keeps licking its stitches, so when I'm eating, I sit with my back to it. Tuesday, January the 13th. My father's gone back to work. Mr. Lucas came in this morning to see if my mother needed any help in the house. He's very kind. Mrs. Lucas was next door cleaning the windows. The ladder didn't look very safe. I've written to Malcolm Muggeridge, care of the BBC, asking him what to do about being an intellectual. I hope he writes back soon, because I'm getting fed up of being one of my own. I've written a poem, and it only took me 2 minutes. Even the famous poets take longer than that. It's called The Tap. But it isn't really about a tap. It's very deep, and about life and stuff. The Tap by Adrian Mole. The tap drips and keeps me awake. In the morning there will be a lake. For the want of a washer, the carpet will spoil. Then, for another, my father will toil. My father could snuff it while he is at work. Dad, fit a washer. Don't be a Burke. I showed it to my mother, but she laughed. She isn't very bright. She still hasn't washed my PE shorts, and it's school tomorrow. She's not like the mothers on television.
Oh, dear, poor soul. Read by Robert Mangan.
Robert?
We call him Robert, but he was known as Stephen.
Oh, I see.
The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, yes. Age 13 and three quarters. I was going to look him up. You can look him up yourself. Sue Townsend wrote that. There's something new coming about. Now, I saw the musical in a previous century, and it was a dud. I'm telling you, it was a dud.
Aww.
It was like that poem, Tapped. You wouldn't want to hear it twice, would you? But the book I found hilarious when I was younger then. Maybe it goes with being a certain age and smarmy.
I think so, yes.
Before we turn to anything else, I want to remind people of the Children's Hospital Book Market at St. Vitale, continuing today, St. Vitale Mall. 10 to 6, we'll be there, elbows up. We're always got our elbows up.
That's true.
Man, it was a zoo yesterday.
Yes.
But I don't think 10 a.m. this morning would be
quite discussions with several women. I was waiting at the knitting table.
Yes.
And what kind of knitting do you? I like cables. Oh, I like lace. I like. So, yeah, it was everybody had. And then when you're searching through, who was the person that liked lace? Here, look at this book.
Oh, yes.
Here's a cable book.
Helping out.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they are very helpful.
Well, when you go,
I've noticed that.
We go early before 10 because I find if you press the very thin plastic cover down, you can see what the titles are, some of them. I don't pull anything up. No, because they're always looking at you as well.
Yes,
to see, hey, you, over there. And
they have little signs over the plastic that say, don't try and touch
when you see the big purple finger sticking up in there, that's where you can pay for them.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they don't have balloons anymore.
No.
And the fingers don't relate to the colors necessarily.
Where you can pay for in cash or credit card.
Yeah.
That's where you can pick up a map.
Yes.
Because it's the St. Vitale Mall, that weird hub that flies off in different directions.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure if you're looking for the classics.
Right.
Where how to get there, the biographies, the knitting carol. Are there going to be any knitting books left? Some, maybe.
Maybe.
That's why it pays to go the first day.
Yeah, but there were all kinds of, like, quilting and crochet and other cross-stitch and stuff.
Well, Adrian Mole wanted to be an intellectual.
Yes,
and so I picked up for $2. Very nice. I don't think it had ever been read. Trade-size paperback, which means big. Marshall McLuhan. The Medium and the Messenger, a biography by Philip Marchand, with a new foreword by Neil Postman. There's a man in the lecture for you. Beautifully written, it said, brings instant recognition of that weird, exhilarating vortex of ideas that McLuhan meant to us, said the Globe and Mail. I bet he never wrote a poem like The Tap. And as well, C.S. Lewis in A Time of War. Now, it says, the World War II broadcast that riveted a nation and became the classic Mere Christianity. So that's where the ideas came from. It's got a foreword as well by Walter Hooper. So it's about his talks on the radio. It's not like they've reprinted The Talks, which is my first thought.
Oh, I see. Right.
Riveted Nation, because it's written by Justin Phillips, you see. It's a very nice hardcover, though.
Okay.
And that was $2. So you can still find these things.
Yes.
I don't know. I suppose the prices range from 6 to 8, roughly.
Yes.
And there's almost every category under the sun.
Yes, well, there are lots and lots of cookbooks. And there are so many spiral-bound cookbooks. They've got almost their own section.
Ho, ho.
Yeah, well, tables and tables worth of them.
Best of Bridge? Don't tell me about the Best of Bridge. It brings back bad memories when I was at Eaton's. I turned them down.
Well, you know, a lot of church fundraiser cookbooks, and those are always good. They've got really good recipes. Yep. And the company's coming. They had, you know, a salad one and a dainties one and an appetizer one and casserole one.
There will still be a lot of cookbooks today.
There will still be lots.
And we should tell you, it continues to Sunday.
Yesterday, I don't know about today, but yesterday there was a lady who took cash. And she didn't add up your books for you. You had to, if you already knew the price and the total of your stack of books, then you could pay her cash.
Oh, they were running them through as fast as they could. The first day, people were still learning, but boy, they were a little more efficient than the past, and you got to be patient. And you get to talk to people in the line.
Yes.
No, that means it's today, 10 to 5, 6, 10 to 6. Okay. Sunday is 11 till 5, and they start packing up a little before 5, of course.
Yes.
And that's the St. Patel
Quite
Mall.
A bit before
Children's
5.
Hospital Book Market. That's where the money goes. On this day in 1792, the guillotine was first used in France.
Goodness. Yow.
At 6:57, yes, we have enough time then to return to Capitol Records, the birth of a label, the early years, 1942-43. In this case, it's Freddie Slack and his orchestra. But what would you like to say, Carol?
Oh, well, I thought you were going to play something else, so just give me a second till I switch to the Freddie Slack.
All righty.
Okay. I've got it.